Wow, what a song. I hope what you've just been singing is true for you. Because the passage we read, Jesus is talking about exactly that. Last time I was here, we talked about Peter and Jesus, Peter saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "My Father's revealed that to you. You've believed it, you've spoken it out, and that's the rock on which I'm going to build my church." But what Jesus is talking about in the passage we read today is the foundations for our own individual lives. And we read that one in Matthew. Let me read what must have been a different occasion when Jesus told a slightly different story, but with the same meaning and the same reason for people to listen. It's in Luke chapter 6. And again, I've got some notes, so you don't need to make a note of any of this. I've got some notes. You can take a copy away with you and catch up on all the things I don't say as well as the things that I do say. But this is what Luke writes. It was a different occasion. I've checked it out. It's not the same time. The first time that we read in Matthew chapter 7 was during the Sermon on the Mount. And Luke very specifically says in this passage, the beginning of this, that he actually come down from a mountain and was in a level place. So it's not the same time, but he tells a very similar story. Luke chapter 6. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they're like. They're like a man building a house who dug down deep." That didn't come up, did it, in the Matthew bit? "Who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it, because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the rock without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete." You picture these two houses. I think by the fact that the river comes and gets them fairly soon, they must have been built near a river. Most places that get flooded are built near a watercourse of some sort. So these two guys are building houses, and perhaps you weren't looking when the first guy dug down deep until he hit the rock and started building. But you come along later and you see two houses, and they look fine. Probably got nice roof, nice windows. These days you have a nice fitted kitchen, nice bathroom. Okay, not in Jesus' time. But they would look exactly the same, or very similar. The one that didn't have a proper foundation might even look better than the one that did, because he didn't have to spend so much money on the foundation, did he? So he could spend money on the rest of it, make it all look lovely. But the point of having a house is that it's secure. The point of having a house is it's somewhere safe that you can stay in, where you're protected. And in both of these versions of the story, we know what happens. The rain comes, the storm comes, the river rises. That lovely river that they were just next to, nice place, isn't it, to have a nice house next to the river, near the river. But that lovely river swells with the rain, and it comes and it washes against the houses. And they're probably, both the men are probably a bit worried. You don't expect the river to be washing around the bottom of the walls of your house. But the man who built his house on the rock, he thinks, "Yeah, I think I should be all right, because I know I built the foundations properly. They're well secure on that bedrock that's down there." And maybe the other man is worried, but he hasn't got anything to reassure him. And sure enough, as the torrent gets stronger, as the river gets stronger, as the rain swells it even more, The guy in the solid house is looking out, saying, "Oh, this is getting a bit high, but I'm all right in here." But the guy in the other house is beginning to see the house is being swept away. All that effort, all that money, all that beautiful house that he had built, gone. Why? Because the foundations were not... Well, they didn't have any foundations. He just stuck it on the sand. It looked all right above ground, but there was nothing underneath. And what Jesus is saying is, there are lots of people listening to me, and at that time there were lots of people listening to Jesus. Whenever he travelled around, there was a great crowd. And Luke, in Luke's version of it, here, I'll see if I can find it, right at the beginning of when he was talking there, there was a great crowd of people. No, I can't find it straight away, but they were coming from a big area all around. Here we are. If I turn back the right page, I might get it. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples were there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who'd come to hear him and be healed of their diseases. So there were loads of people listening to Jesus. But he says there are two sorts of people here. There's those who are listening to me and putting into practice what I say. And there are those who are listening to me and say, "Oh, okay, it's very nice. Yeah, that's fine." And not doing anything about it. Not applying it to their own lives. We looked at a few characters together over the last few months. And they've all had encounters with Jesus. And in every case, he's talked about the kingdom of God, or he's talked about eternal life. And this time, he's answering a question. He's answering a question which some other people asked him in another place. Let me read that to you. It's in John 6. Again, it's in the notes if you want to read it. Because Jesus has just, in the bit we just read, he said, the people who put into practice what I've been saying. So what can we do to put into practice what you're saying? Goodness me, do you want me to follow all the Ten Commandments? Ooh, that could be difficult. And do you want me to live like that? Sort of, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. Oh, perhaps you want me to follow all the Sermon on the Mount? Well, that's probably even more difficult. Because what Jesus was talking about in the Sermon on the Mount wasn't just what you do, but about what your motivation is. So that's getting difficult. So I like this passage. In John 6, some people ask him the leading question, really. What must we do to do the works that God requires? In other words, please give us a list. Please give us a list of all the things we need to do in order to please God. And Jesus surprises them with this answer. Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." And that word believe doesn't just mean, oh yes, I believe Jesus lived 2,000 years ago. It actually means to put your trust in. To put your trust in. Just like the man who dug down to make his foundations solid on the rock, he put his trust on in the rock. He put his trust in the fact that that bedrock was not going to move. And so his house would be secure. So Jesus says, look, if you want to know what to do what God wants you to do, this is what he wants you to do. To believe in the one whom he sent. Wow, that sounds a lot simpler, doesn't it? Jesus also said in John 17, I love John 17. John 17 is where Jesus is talking to his father. Somebody must have been listening. John, he wrote it all down. But it was a private conversation between Jesus and God the Father. And he says, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. All these people who have been asking Jesus, how can I enter the kingdom of God? How can I have eternal life? You remember the rich young ruler, as we call him, said, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus basically challenged his priorities. And here he says, this is what eternal life means. Knowing you, the Father, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. And the question comes to us, where are our foundations? Are our foundations in all the visible things that we can do? Perhaps it's a bit naughty to say this, but I'm going to say, is it just in having a nice church service? Is that where our foundations are? Is it in thinking that perhaps we're not living too bad a life? That we do good things, we look after people, we perhaps give money to good causes? Is that where our foundations are? Or are our foundations here? To know God and Jesus, his Son. One of the things that the people that we've looked at didn't know, but we do know now, is that Jesus was going to die and give his life so that we could all be forgiven. And you don't get much mention of that in the Gospels. Jesus occasionally says to people, your sins are forgiven, and the authorities are horrified. How can this man say your sins are forgiven? Only God can forgive sins. True, right. But the message of forgiveness turns up straight away on the day of Pentecost. When Peter stands up, and it's only a short while ago that Jesus has been crucified. And before he was crucified, the disciples didn't really understand. He kept talking about the fact that he was going to be killed, and they didn't understand. But already here on the day of Pentecost, Peter is saying, forgiveness is through Jesus. The Holy Spirit has revealed that to Peter. I don't think Peter knew that before. He certainly don't have any indication of it. Good old Peter. As I say, we looked at him last time, and we all feel a bit of a warmth for Peter, because he's spontaneous. He responds. And we think, yeah, he speaks before he thinks most of the time. But here the Holy Spirit has really made it real to Peter that forgiveness comes through Jesus. And as you read on through the New Testament, you find Paul and Peter himself have discovering that, and whoever wrote Hebrews, are discovering that Jesus dying on the cross is the answer for forgiveness. That's how forgiveness comes. You don't get that very much in the Gospels. But as soon as Jesus has died and is raised from the dead and has gone back to be with his Father and the Holy Spirit has been sent, then you start getting the message. Forgiveness is the way in. Certainly, I wouldn't say it's the way in, because there are some people who have come to Jesus, come to faith by a different route, but I would say a large percentage, probably I would think a vast majority, of people who first come to faith in Christ come through receiving forgiveness. Certainly that was true for me. I'd never realized that I needed forgiveness. And then I heard somebody talking about it, talking about how I needed forgiveness and how forgiveness was available to me through what Jesus had done. And not immediately, but pretty soon afterwards, I responded. And that's, for most people, that's the start of those foundations going in. It's a personal thing. It's between you and God, between me and God. It's not something that anyone else can do for you. And so the challenge of what we've read in in Matthew and in Luke here, is our foundation really on that rock? When we realize that we need forgiveness, sometimes we put up a struggle. One of the things that has helped me to understand is we have this word sin in the New Testament, and it's a technical term, isn't it? It's a jargon word. Nobody else uses sin unless they're making a comment about people living in sin. That's the only time it gets used in normal day-to-day life. But the word that's translated sin in the New Testament is a very simple word that would have made sense to anyone, religious or not religious, and you may know this already, but it's a word that means missing the target. So if in those days, if you were an archer and you were aiming at a target and you didn't hit the bullseye, that was the word they used. If we didn't have the word sin, what word would we use for that? Failure. That seems to me a good description of it. Missing the target. Failure is a good word to describe that. So then Jesus died so that my sin might be forgiven, but all my missing the target can be forgiven as well. All my failures. And for us to take advantage of that, we need to admit that we need to, if you see what I mean. There's that little voice that says, you did that wrong. You shouldn't have done that. And we say, no, that was just a mistake. I didn't mean to do that, or, you know. And that little voice goes on niggling at us, saying, that was wrong. And then eventually we give in and say, okay. And you know what that word, the word confess covers that. Oh, confession sounds very religious, doesn't it? Another word, another understanding of that word. The word called confess means to say the same thing. That's all it means, to say the same thing. So that little voice has been saying to you, that's wrong. You shouldn't have done that. You failed there. And we say, no, that's all right. But as soon as we begin to say the same thing, yes, I have failed. I need forgiveness. And Jesus' blood was shed for my forgiveness. And we take hold of it. We take hold of it. And that taking hold of what God has done for us is what the Bible calls faith. It's only really saying yes to God, saying, I've done this for you. It's for you. Will you receive it? And we say, no, I don't want it. I'm quite all right on my own. That's like the man who built his house on the sand. But if we say, yes, I do need forgiveness. I do need my life to be on a solid foundation. Then the Lord is gracious enough to call that faith. Illustration which I've given before, and I was reminded of it just yesterday when I was thinking about this morning. Perhaps you're out at sea, rough sea, and you've fallen off your boat, and the air sea rescue has come out to pick you up before you drown in the heavy seas. And the winch man comes down on his rope and he wants to lift you up out of the water, and he wants to put a harness around you so that you'll be winched up to the helicopter. You don't get yourself up to the helicopter by your own effort. It's the power of the helicopter that pulls you up. But you do need to put yourself, or allow yourself to be put into that harness so that he can lift you up. And allowing yourself to be put into that harness, or holding on to the man who's going to lift you up, that's like faith. I'm not climbing up to the helicopter. It's the helicopter itself that's pulling me up. But I needed to hold on, or I needed to be strapped into the harness. No credit to me that I'm pulled out of the water. No credit to you in that situation. And that's like faith.
And Paul wrote about it. This verse isn't in the notes, I don't think, anyway. But it's one you may know, or a couple of verses. And talking about being rescued, the word that turns up in the Bible is saved. It means the same thing. For by grace, it is by grace you've been saved through faith. Okay? That's that illustration again. By grace you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. I'm not saying, aren't I clever? I believe in Jesus. No, what I'm saying is, thanks to the Lord for his grace, that he, as it were, let down that harness so that I could just be strapped in and pulled up and be rescued. And that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. That's the first building on top of the rock, way down in that foundation. But the intention is that our lives will be built on that. Not by me doing a lot, not by you doing a lot, but by the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But there is absolutely no point trying to do all this wonderful stuff unless that foundation is in. And the point about the two houses on the rock is difficulties come. Your life and my life, we have difficulties. I'm not saying believe in Jesus and everything will be a bed of roses. That is not the way it is it? We go on getting difficulties. But the point is that when our life is on a solid foundation of trust in Jesus, of relying on what he's done for us, then the flood can come. This doesn't make it any more comfortable, but the flood can come, the rain can come, the wind can come, and the house stays standing. It doesn't collapse. I've got a couple of bits of paper here as well. I may not have mentioned the phrase, but once we've put our trust in Jesus, the commonest phrase in the New Testament to describe someone who's put their trust in Jesus is just two words: in Christ. If you've put your trust in Jesus, then your life has been joined to the life of Jesus. And I looked up some notes, which I did, and actually I stood here 24 years ago, and shared a message, and here are the notes that I had for that time. So it's headed, "In Christ?" ? So if that's something that interests you, to know what a little bit more, it's not complete, a little bit more about what it means to be in Christ, have a look at that. But have a look at the notes here, which I've called "Built on the Rock." We need to make sure that our foundations are secure, that we are in Christ and not just playing at being Christians. I'm just going to play a song. Can we get the children in? Yep, that would be lovely. Thank you. If we can have the words up first, please, Helen. And then we're not going to sing it together, we're just going to listen to it. But let the kids come in first. Sorry? It all starts together. Okay, well, we'll wait then. We'll wait until they're here. We'll do it all together. Thank you. The technology is sometimes we can't tell. We can't do it all at once, or we have to do it all at once. But this is a song written by a guy called Don Francisco, who is probably about the same sort of age as me, so he's positively ancient. But this is a song that he wrote back it must be about 40 years ago. I've got lots of his songs, and this one speaks, you'll find the line in there that refers to houses built on the rock, but the question is, where are the foundations? What is the foundation for your life? And this is the challenge that Don Francisco gives us. Yes, please, Helen, take it away. Thank you, Father, for challenging us. Thank you, Father, for helping us to see that we need our foundations deep. That just what shows on the surface is not enough, but we need our lives personally to be in a right relationship with you. And so, Father, you know the needs of each of us here today. You know us. We don't know each other very well. Sometimes we don't even know ourselves very well. So we ask you to lead us in what it means to have our foundations solidly on the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done in our lives. So that when it all goes pear-shaped, when it all looks like a problem, when it all looks like it could all fall apart, we have a solid foundation. We have a rock because we've been joined to Jesus, because we are in Christ. We're part of your kingdom. We're part of your family. So we thank you again for your wonderful provision for us in Jesus. And thank you for giving us your grace that we can take hold of what you've given us in him. In his name.